Sidetrack.
Hey guys, welcome back to Sidetrack. I'm Lewis, and with me is my co-host Yella.
Hi, today we are having an exciting episode on side hustles with two of our esteemed guys. We're using the word esteemed again, whose faces you might be familiar with.
Would you like to introduce yourselves, guys? Say hi.
Go on, you first, Sam.
Okay, yeah, so I'm Sam McKnight. I'm a fourth year here at St. Andrews. I study ancient history and archaeology. I am a history content creator, I guess. I am the director of an NGO, and I'm here with my business partner, Dylan, with another company that we run that does food.
Great. You forgot to mention Gilgamesh.
I did.
Oh, did you?
History content.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Well, I'm not as famous as Sam, but I'm a second year economics student. I approached Sam about this idea. It was actually through a mutual friend, but when I met him, I was like, oh my God, he's got like 70K. He's amazing. And then all of a sudden, he gained an additional 30K. And I was even more amazed. So, that's how we met.
Fair enough.
So Dylan's the backbone of this operation. Is that, how would you describe yourself?
Well, yeah, I guess I, in terms of, should I kind of go through what we're doing, or?
That would be great, yeah.
Yeah, so it's essentially it's an ancient meal, kind of ready-made food business, which focuses on nutrition. It covers 50% of your daily nutritional values. We've managed to get a really amazing chef. His name's Richard Garley. He had a Michelin star. He's actually designing our recipes, and very soon, hopefully, we'll be launching in Fulham, which will be really interesting.
So is being a Michelin star, like food packaging delivery service type of business, is that your diversification from, you know, HelloFresh and other similar products?
Yeah, I think when it comes to, I've had a lot of people speak to me about things like, about HelloFresh and things. My understanding is that's more, first of all, that's more kind of recipes to your door. So I think the kind of competitors we've got is companies like Simmer. I don't know if you guys have heard of Simmer. They're like this ready, it's a ready-made meal company. It's direct to consumer. The way we've kind of differentiated ourselves is, first of all, obviously, we're 50% of your daily values, that there is a USP. Another thing is we've got ancient meals. We've got Sam behind it, who's one of the leading guys in ancient history in the world in terms of content creation, which is true. It's
so
true.
Dumb.
It's true. What else? And obviously, we've got the Michelin star element. So we've got that combination of USPs.
No one else is doing the ancient meals, as far as we're aware, as well. So, I mean,
Could you expand more on ancient meals? Is it meals from ancient times?
Yeah. So it's like literally just ancient inspired meals. So like, I approached a professor here. I asked him for advice with like the Roman one. So we're going to start with like two or three different meals. It's going to be called like, you know, the Marcus Aurelius, or, you know, the Herodotus, and it's going to be like, imagine the Greek is lamb kebab with tzatziki and pita, and it's going to be a Mongol one with eat like Genghis Khan, you know, like this kind of thing. So the idea is that when I spoke about it with Dylan, is that we're kind of like introducing, it sounds silly, but imagination as an ingredient, like, because I know that whole generations of men have, especially men, have grown up with, you know, Maximus, Duridius, like all these historical figures that they love the idea of, the concept of. They've read lots of Stoic philosophy. They love their ancient history, and I don't know. I think it seems really cool to like sit down with this meal that's produced in very like ancient style, cruelty free. We're going for cruelty free as well, so no battery farming, car friendly milk, stuff like that. So it's going to be quite. It's going to be quite good.
So would you say your product is targeting more of a general public or more of a niche, like ancient history fanatics?
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to Sam about this, actually. I think when we talk about infusing imagination into meals, I think we imagine that the way we're going to go about that is almost, it's going to end up being targeted more towards men. within the age demographic of kind of late Gen Zs, early millennials type thing. That's what we think we're going to hit on a marketing level. But obviously, you know, 50% of your daily value is that there is, you know, it's NHS guidelines, and that there is above 16. So, you know, theoretically, it could be for all ages, if that makes sense.
And Sam, could you expand on your content creation side and what people might have seen online from you?
A lot of cringy content.
Sorry, before you go ahead, I've always wondered why you came up with the name for your Instagram account.
Gilgamesh.
Yeah, Gilgamesh.
So it started during COVID, actually, lockdown 2020, something like that. Mm-hmm. The summer of 2020, and I made a meme account. I made my own memes, like very simple, very small level. And I did a poll as to what name we would go for. And it was in between Priam of Troy and Gilgamesh of Uruk. And what I'd read, the Epic of Gilgamesh, like loved the story, thought it was kind of underrated in a wider modern audience. And I don't know, I did a vote and people voted for Gilgamesh. I was like, you know what, I'll go for it. It's kind of a complicated username, like it's hard to look up and stuff, but yeah. I think I've made it my own and there's no other content creator called Gilgamesh out there.
That's true.
And it's strange to me that like tens and tens of millions of people know me as Gilgamesh and they don't know my actual, they might not even know my actual name.
So what was your motivation behind the side hustling, Sam? Was it just your kind of spur of the moment idea about combining ancient history and creativity with food?
Specifically for Humbaba, the food company? Yeah, so Dylan approached me with the idea first about creating like a food company with me as the marketing head. And then we came up with a bunch of ideas. We changed things over a few times, brainstormed, changed everything again, brainstormed, change it again. And then we finally hit upon this idea of, I was like, Dylan, why don't we do like ancient meals? Like I already have this account. It sells itself. No one else is doing this. Dylan?
Yeah, no, exactly. I think, originally for me personally, it was, I guess, you know, the way any kind of business starts is you kind of think, okay, how can I make money? What's going to make me money? You know,
let's be real here. We have to make a living.
Exactly. So there was a combination. There was actually a number of different ideas. Originally, I was going to do. I wanted to do one of those. You know, have you seen those portable washing machines on TikTok?
What?
Have you seen them? Have you seen them?
Wait, what?
I wanted. Yeah, exactly. I wanted to do like a mini portable washing machine, which you could like keep in your room.
Is that the one that like looks like a bin?
Yeah, it looks like a bin. But there was, I've seen one online where the way I was going to do it, I wanted to do one which was like it was like a cubic one, and also there's like the water inside. It's almost like a diffuser. So you could put like essential oils in, and then while you're like, because there's this thing I was reading about. Anyway, I didn't do it.
So is that like a drop shipping type of idea you had?
No, I actually wanted to. I was working on it actually for a couple of months. I contacted people from like Cambridge to actually make it.
This is news to me.
We had blueprints made and everything, and then I just thought, you know what, this is just terrible. No one's gonna buy this. Ended up being like £80, and it's no one's gonna buy this ever.
Premium travel package, you know, you can use it as a suitcase too.
Yeah,
put a few clothes in there, like put it on the airplane.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could have used it for that, but I don't think people would have. You know, it's a heavy thing. We went to the meal company, yeah, and initially, like, I've always been very focused on nutrition. Like, that's always been very important to me. But recently, I've actually thought about maybe trying to incorporate some of the ingredients in the actual business into my own dietary kind of routine. And I've actually seen a significant change in my face. Like, I've seen a significant difference in my face. Like, my skin is cleared up. You know, I've got no acne anymore. I actually feel like I used to have a very puffy face all the time. And it was from different things I ate. And now I've actually stopped doing that. You know, it's almost like my face, my skin has got tighter around my face.
You got skinnier. The academic stress is kicking in.
It's not even skinnier though, because I'm looking at my, you know, my actual body, and it's almost like it's, you know, I haven't lost a significant amount of fat. I've just genuinely seen a lot of fat because obviously I'm having the same amount of calories, so I'm not in a calorie deficit at all. You know, in terms of I've changed my diet, but I'm still eating a quantity which is the same as what I was eating before in terms of energy. But now what I'm doing is I'm incorporating a lot more vitamins, a lot more of that kind of stuff into my diet. I feel better and I look better, which is really interesting for me.
So you have tried a prototype of your product, have you?
So. I mean, we're developing a product prototype at the moment. That's what Richard's doing. You know, he's doing the recipe. But in terms of the actual ingredients we're going to be using, I've tested them out personally, and I have seen a significant difference. And it's interesting. I was speaking to my girlfriend about this yesterday, about, because she eats a lot of like McDonald's and things. She shouldn't, but she does. And she's always saying, "Oh yeah, why do I have, you know, if I have acne on a certain day, why have I broken out today?" And I was telling her that what's really, and this is, I don't know if this is true, but this is an opinion I have. Almost the way we're supposed to look is really healthy, if that makes sense. We're not supposed to be eating things like McDonald's and really high sodium foods. That's not supposed to happen. So when we get breakouts and all these things, you know, that's not necessarily what we're naturally supposed to look like. We're supposed to look really good, really healthy, because we're designed to be eating, you know, all of these different ingredients which are good for you. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's scientifically proven, but it makes sense in my mind. Does that make sense?
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I think. Yeah.
So this whole ancient meal is like bringing back to the basics, in a sense.
Exactly, bring it back to basics, mm-hmm. And that's what I was talking to Sam about, bringing things back to the basics.
So do you have a slogan for this? Currently thinking.
Do we have a slogan?
I don't think so. We can figure one out.
So who controls more of like the operation? Who's in the measurement side, rather than marketing? It would be.
I think it's very hard for me to say that who controls it in the management side, because ultimately the way it works is we've all got our own very specific roles. You know, Sam came up with this idea with me. You know, it's not just my idea. Sam came up with me. He came up with the whole ancient meals concept. And down the line, you know, he'll be managing a lot of the team in which we bring on board. You know, in terms of what Richard will be doing, he's also a partner. So, you know, he'll be managing the entire restaurant element of things. So we're all kind of, in terms of management of this business, it wouldn't, you know, run without any three of us. You know, no one's managing each other. And that's what I love about this community. No one's the boss here. You know, I can't tell Sam how to do social media. I'd be an idiot to do that. You know, what am I going to... Or I can't tell Richard how to cook, you know. We've all got our very specific roles, and I don't think there's...
Sam and Dylan, what is the time management of academic alongside your side hustles and societies and everything else in your life? How is that going?
Yeah, interestingly. I mean, so I have my company, Kathon, and I've been running it as the director for like over a year and a half now, and the last few months I've spent nearly every single day, all day, working on it. I forgot that I have a dissertation to do. I only just remembered I had another module a couple of weeks ago, and I did the essay for yesterday. It was due today. Did it. So I'm managing it. I am managing it, but school has definitely become a lesser priority for me. I'm really not interested in getting a first or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm just happy I'm getting my degree and graduating, because for me, grades don't really matter, but the stuff that I do for my life does matter. And I don't think any prospective employer really cares if I get a 2-1 or a first. And I mean, I intend to employ myself anyway, so it doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah. What about you, Dylan? Time management advice?
Yeah, it's been very hard.
I can imagine.
It's been very hard recently. Especially with econ. Econ's really hard. It's really hard, actually.
Guys should done ancient history.
I would struggle at both, because I'm terrible at essay writing. I'd probably struggle at ancient history more than I would. At least maths, I kind of get it, but still, I'm finding it very, very hard at the moment. I still have time to... I think you just have to be kind of... I mean, it's the same with you guys. You know, you guys are doing a podcast. You know, I imagine you guys also experience the same thing. You know, sometimes you have to almost push aside your social life, but you can always dip back in. You know, you send the occasional text. I'm sure you guys must be working all the time on this.
Well, Lewis here does most of
the... I mean, this is fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, I do the editing. So what's like the best part of your job here, Side Hustle Company?
I love working with Sam. You know, I genuinely love working with Sam, which is great. Yeah, sorry. I thought you. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's everything. You love Sam.
I accidentally touched him with my toe. I think.
Yeah.
We're not playing footsie or anything. Don't worry. Yeah, I love working with Dylan. I think it's weird for me. Like I've told him before, like this, the idea of forming a company specifically to make money is an alien concept to me. I don't know why that's so weird for me, but like the idea of I go out here and I do work specifically to get me money feels strange because I've spent so long doing like charity and volunteer work.
I do also think it's important to recognize that we do have a social cause. We are doing it for animal welfare, which is a very, you know, it's a very hot topic for us. You know, we do want to kind of eliminate battery farms and things. We don't believe in it.
No, not at all.
That's why any of the meat we source is going to be, you know, either grain fed or grass fed. That's very important to us, and it's going to be car friendly. You know, these are very important topics. And also, it's better for you. You know, eating grass fed stuff and grain. You know, it can't be good for you eating stuff full of, you know, hormones and all of these different steroids they pump the animals with, or antibiotics. That can't be good for you. You know, you really want to have natural, you know, natural meats, if that makes sense.
This is actually a fun fact. Before Sidetrack, our original side hustle is not a podcast. It was actually quite similar to you guys. We were thinking about food delivering services. As in, like, we bring, like, a form of an Asian bento box type of stuff. As in, like, snack box. Asian snack box. Delivered. Yeah, I know, right? Shocking. And we deliver to like people's door every month with some really traditional Asian snacks that they have never tried.
Why you didn't do that? I would love that.
Well, because we did kind of do like a rough plan. Would you? Yeah.
I would love that.
So we did have a look at that idea. We had like some planning, I believe. But at the end,
it was a lot.
It was
time consuming and everything.
And then we leaned towards more of the non-profit side, I would say.
Would you ever revisit that?
Oh.
Never say never. Could be...
I think you should. I think it's great of it.
Could be an option.
Could be an option, but...
So I can see myself buying that.
Would you? Okay.
Yeah, you know, it depends what the snacks are, obviously. But if you did some authentic snacks, which I've never tried before, which maybe high in protein or... Yeah.
We were thinking of like themed, mentally themed. Every month there's something going on in Asia, and we're based on those themes.
I mean, what's some... Oh, that's interesting. Like what?
Like a Chinese New Year box
for
February. Or like, you know, Japanese Sakura box for...
Where exactly are you guys from?
So I'm from Shanghai.
Okay.
I'm from Edinburgh, but I lived in China for 10 years.
Okay. So what kind of weird snacks they have? I mean, I imagine there's loads, but do you know any kind of weird snacks they have in China?
I wouldn't say weird.
Something which is very foreign to you guys.
Yeah.
Exactly.
For example, mooncakes. We have it every mid-autumn festival. So it's... It's really hard to describe. How would you describe mooncakes?
So it's like... Oh, this is actually kind of hard, to be fair. It's quite sweet, but some of them are salty as well. We have a egg yolk in the middle of the mooncake. Obviously, it's a cake, right? And
See, I'd eat that.
Yeah, the feeling is like a red bean paste. Have you ever tried a red bean paste? Yeah. So it's quite sweet, but then you have a little savory, salty taste in the middle of a mooncake. Is that your favorite? Mooncakes?
It's not my favorite, no.
So these snacks, then, can they be packaged?
Yeah, they'll be packaged.
So, but you've got an egg yolk in the middle?
Yeah, that's just like...
Would it be hard to preserve that?
I would say usually the... It expires after I'd say
5 months, maybe.
Oh, no, it's not. A bit less. I think like
2-3 months. 1 month.
Yeah. Really?
Egg yolk can last that long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried a salt?
Raw egg yolk?
No, it's hardened.
I mean, obviously, it's not made from like organic ingredient or like farm fed or whatever. So I assume they add like preservatives in it.
I thought it was a raw egg yolk.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
We also have lots of, like, spicy snacks. If you're into spicy snacks, there's lots of, like, authentic Chinese, like, spicy... No. 1,000-year-old eggs.
Sorry?
1,000-year-old eggs. Have you tried those?
I've never tried them, obviously.
They are really nice.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're really nice as well.
Yeah, those black eggs. Right?
Those are the one. Yeah. Nice, they're really nice. They're really nice. Yeah. And no, not at all. You can. I think it's 2 months. I think, yeah, it's not. Yeah. Pretty sure it's 2 months ish. And you usually have it in like soups, like cold. Yeah. Breakfast. Yeah. That was before we moved to Sidetrack.
Yeah.
I mean, me and Sam were thinking about this. We're thinking about crickets, like a kind of a cricket kind of thing, because there's no one in the UK who are like selling, like almost. I mean, you could. I mean, he actually has some crickets in his room, which actually eats, which is super high in protein, by the way.
It's 36 grams per 100 grams, which is, by the way,
is like super insane. High. Super high.
Okay, which is insane.
So we're thinking like, but I've never even tried cricket. I don't even know. I've been told they're not very nice.
It tastes a bit crickety
as well.
Yeah, it tastes like as pet shop smells. You know, yeah, that kind of. But at the same time, I'm a big proponent of. Yeah. I think the West should normalize eating insects, because like animal cruelty is they just get blended.
How do you get into it? Crickets.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm just aware of the concept, and I decided to buy some.
Cruel way to farm crickets as well.
I don't know. I feel like I'd my conscience would
be, feel better.
Hell yes, much better. Because all you do with crickets is you just farm them in a box.
Is PETA?
Yeah.
Peter. They show some awful videos, don't they?
With crickets.
No, not crickets.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I feel like the suffering of a cow is more than that of a cricket who doesn't understand it's in a box anyway. Disgusting. Which is an awful thing to say. But
so going back to time management and, you know, managing academics alongside of this, what do you think is something that you can gain from side hustles that you cannot gain from academics or, you know, just socializing with friends?
We're not including like financial wise, skills wise.
To be honest with you, we're so early on in this side hustle that I'd hardly call it side hustle at this point. You know, it's the very beginning stages. So I don't think I'd be in a very good position to say, you know, what's advantageous about it. But I could probably give you kind of what I imagine would be advantageous about it, which is experience. You know, especially if you want to be an entrepreneur, you know, there are certain things, you know, you don't learn that in economics. You don't really learn that in management, how to be an entrepreneur. It's one of those things you just kind of have to do. You know, I imagine for you guys as well, you know, with your podcast, like, what's the best way to learn how to do a podcast? You know, is it you read it in a book? No, you have to do it. Same with Sam. And I think social media is probably the best example of this. What's the best way to learn social media? Is it read loads of books? It's probably actually to do it. Do it, to make the videos, to fail, to do it again, and then eventually you get really good and you gain 100,000 followers like Sam.
Yeah,
hopefully.
For me, the social media side, I felt like I gained a lot of. I mean, the confidence is obviously a usual one, but it's not so much confidence as happiness in yourself, like self-contentment, because I feel like it allows you to just accept. So, for instance, I've always been a bit insecure about the way that I looks like with, you know, ginger and pale and stuff. People like pick fun with these things. And being into history, being nerdy, and like in high school, in Scottish high school, that stuff like gets picked on. So then suddenly I had this online community of people who really supported me doing it. They really liked it. They liked the stuff I was doing. Now there's first comments. But anyway, yeah. So that for that, I think it's really helped with my acceptance of myself. And my main thing, Kathon, my company, for me, that's... the benefit for me has aged me a lot, so I feel as if I've aged a few years in the year or so that I've done it, like, you know, specifically because of the content that I'm dealing with and the projects that I'm managing and the people that I'm directing. And I feel like it's difficult to not get up and spend your whole day like looking at massacred individuals and trying to find them and this kind of thing, and not gain a new perspective and a new sense of maturity in some way or other. But yeah.
Here's a question for Sam. So what is like the weirdest or request or gift or message you have received from your social media following?
Oh, I mean, there's been quite a lot, honestly. Some people, I don't know if I should tell you guys. Some people will message you and just be like, pretty much straight up, like, I will be your toy that you can use me however you want. Like, I'll let you do anything to me. I am yours, master, kind of thing. Someone else will say, like, oh, come to such and such a country, I'll pay for everything. And this other guy, like, messaged me, and he was like, and by the way, I'm gay. I was like, thank you, it's a very kind offer, I hope you work out, whatever. Yeah, I've had some pretty weird messages over the years. Most people just leave on message requests, no point in responding to that. Yeah.
Do you ever reply to those messages? Or take up the offer?
Okay, one time this girl sent me this, like, boyfriend application, and it was a whole, like, not document, but, you know, like, a lot of pros and cons and how she'd be as a girlfriend. I was like, I can't not reply to that. Like, I said, like, listen, the amount of effort you've gone to is amazing. I'm seeing someone right now, or, like, I'm not interested, whatever, but I have to appreciate what you did, and I think that's really sweet and very brave of you to reach out. I know that I would not be brave enough to reach out to my online crush, but... yeah.
Have you guys ever experimented on swapping roles for a day? Swapping each other's role in this side hustle for a day?
What, in terms of social media?
Yeah, would you like do social media for a day? For
Dylan? No, I don't think I'd ever do that.
Never?
Run Gilgamesh. I think it would go from 100k to 1. Very, very quickly.
Why is that case? Are you quite...
I'd be the only follower by the end of it.
Are you quite controversial, or...? Are you quite controversial, or why is that the case?
No, I'm just terrible. So, I'd just be terrible at social media. Social media is hard.
Yeah, social media.
Social media is really tough. So hard to not be cringe.
No, this is the thing. Like, and if you're gonna do social media, you have to embrace the cringe. Seriously, yeah. I really do believe that everything on social media is cringy. Social media itself is a cringy concept, and that means that you can't post anything on it without adhering to that.
And Sam, you were also involved in an Edinburgh short film. What's that? Would you like to talk about that a little, the Edinburgh?
Yeah, if you want to watch it, it's coming out in June, I believe, the premiere. The trailer's out now. It's called The Death of Ivan Ilyich, and it's based on the Russian novella of the same name by Tolstoy. Yeah, by Leo Tolstoy. I play the humble role of the unnamed law clerk number one. And at the beginning of the movie, he runs onto the set and, like, is like, he's dead, he's dead. And then I have some extra roles, but it was just really, really fun. We shot in these incredible locations in Edinburgh. We went to this castle, Fingars Castle near Perth, and it was just so fun dressing up in period costume with these amazing settings and locations, and, like, genuinely the nicest people I've ever worked with. They were all so fun. Yeah.
And also Sam here knows our acting mom Ellie, and she is also TikTok famous. Did you know that? Yeah.
Sam, if you had to sacrifice a side hustle, which one would it be and why? And I guess for you, Dylan, you know, what really makes you choose one side hustle instead of the other? So your, why not the portable laundry idea instead of this?
Oh, right, okay.
You want to go first then?
So what makes me want to not... sorry, thanks. What makes me want to not sacrifice this one for another one? Mm. I was saying. Probably the fact that I think this is the best one. I don't think it's a better idea. Yeah, you know, if I thought it was not a good idea, I'd probably be quite quick to pivot and go, this just isn't gonna work.
I guess this is a follow-up question. If you can sacrifice anything in your life, what would that be in order to improve this?
If I could sacrifice anything in my life, oh, that's a good question actually. As in, what's the?
So it would substantially improve this business. If and you it sacrifice would one aspect of your life.
And it would substantially affect my life if I sacrifice this.
Your business.
So if I sacrifice this, would it make a substantial difference to my life?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting. Ooh.
Do you want me to answer while you're thinking?
Yeah.
So my answer to the previous one is I would give up my photography side hustle because it's kind of sporadic and I don't always make a lot of money from it. Like, photography is something you really have to invest a lot of time into in order to make any decent money from it. And the thing that I would... Well, I don't know if I have a specific answer for the second question that you had, but I do know that with my company, Cathon, like, I've been tempted to give everything for... like I have to hold myself back from giving everything to it. Like, I've given hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of my time to it. I think I've given more to it in a year than I've given to in my entire degree over 3 years. I've sacrificed, not friendships, but I've sacrificed time with friends. I've sacrificed time with family. I've sacrificed a lot. And if I could, I'd give more. But I know that it'd be wise not to, and to also devote time to studies and to Humbaba and other ways to make money.
Yeah. Maybe it's such a hard, it's such a tough question. It's not like I'm going to say I'm going to give up my mum.
Dylan, would you give up the goatee?
No, that's a good question.
You're welcome.
Because this goatee has been with me for about, since I was 14.
It means
so much to me. I think I'd give up the goatee.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd give up the goatee, although it would suck. I hate myself for it. So I got a pea head without the goatee. This makes it go into a point. But yeah, I guess I'd give up the goatee.
And get a buzz cut.
Yeah, no. Maybe.
Yeah, experimenting. This is what university is for.
Yeah.
And a bit more of a slightly personal question. And how much do you make in a month?
How much what?
How much do you make in a month?
In a month,
yeah.
Oh God, right. So I get patronized by, as in like the literal term, like I have my supporters. Wait,
Patreon.
How do I say that? Not Patreon. It's like Patreon, but I have a system set up which allows followers to help support me, because I told them, like, I'm gonna be real here. I'm gonna graduate soon. I won't have time to do this because I need to make a living. I don't have a family home or anything. Like, once I'm out of university, no more student loans, I'm adrift. So the amount of money I make really depends on how much they're willing to support me. But otherwise I do side hustles like the photography, and then we'll see what Humbaba does. But otherwise I make probably only a little bit more than what I get in student loans every month.
Thank you very much for everyone's time.
Thank you guys.
It has been very insightful, very interesting.
Very insightful, yeah. Knowing about your busy, busy lives.
Would you like to say some final words?
That's right on the spot, isn't it? I would say embrace the cringe. Don't worry about what people think about you too much. Their opinion doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Focus on improving yourself as a person first. Don't, if you're going to do social media, do not do it when you're young and stupid, because your videos of you being really fucking cringy at 16 will last forever. And I really hope no one finds them for me. But yeah, just be yourself.
And what about you, Dylan?
I think ending on Sam's one is the best to go off. You know, that's I think that's very important what you said. I agree with
you. Thank you very much for the episode, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.